We are here for day 7. Today we will be in Joshua 1 through 6 and 23 and 24.
Yeah, so moving on. We just got done talking about Moses passing, Joshua taking over. So then this book is continuing. It's like the next day, right? I mean, it's the next moment, and this is where God comes and confirms the leadership to Joshua. And what I love about it starting out is, and a lot of Christians have probably quoted this, we know it, but right off the bat in chapter 1, we have those words of God saying, like, be strong and courageous. You know, I am with you.
It's on every coffee cup.
It is, you know, right? And I'm not trying to lessen how we use this,
right,
but I can just imagine the anxiety that maybe Joshua felt. You're following Moses, and you're going to lead the people now. And not only are you following Moses, you are there at that moment of, we're going to go in and get the promised land. We've been waiting an entire generation for this since we left Egypt. And even before that, all the way to Abraham. I mean, I can't even imagine the pressure that Joshua must have been feeling in that moment. But God comes and he's just like, be strong and courageous. You're going to lead these people. You're going to inherit this land, you know. But then he tells him what's most important. See, we focus on the be strong and courageous, but he goes on what's most important. And he says words to Joshua like, you know, focus on this law, obey all of the law, like just like Moses did, right? Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. So this is right there, kind of verses 7 and 8.
Yeah. He tells us how to be strong and courageous.
He's telling us this is how it works. This is how it works.
Read the Bible.
be intimate and close to me, right? That's that thing. And then, you know, again, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. So going back to the start of Judges, it kind of comes down to this. You know, something that I said this last, you know, the Sunday I preached was, are we going to take God at his word? That's where Joshua was at. Was he going to take God at his word and say, you know what, I can do this? So then what we see is it moves on, and they start the campaign. They have a job to do. It's their their faith and action have to come in step with God. So it talks about them sending spies into the land again and to see what's going on. And the first place they come to is Jericho. Now, I don't know. I've read a lot about Jericho, you know, a lot of times. But, you know, when we hear about the walls of Jericho, I remember one time hearing speculation that these walls were so large and so thick that two chariots could run side by side along the wall. I mean, they were massive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're that big, but history does say it's like this city was fortified. You weren't just going to go take Jericho. And they send the spies in, and there's this interaction between them and Rahab, where, you know, Rahab helps them, and they get back word. And you know, what's amazing about Rahab is while she's part of, you know, this foreign people, you know, she's honored.
She,
yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, and she's honored by a story of her, like by name. There's no,
she's included, you know, in the genealogy of Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, so there was something extremely special. That's something to pay attention
in the
Bible.
Hall of Faith.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, as you're reading the Bible, just encouragement to anybody, when you see somebody like by name, this really short story just in there, but their name is there, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I mean, to include that. So you see this, and then there comes this moment where it's time. They're going to go do it. And basically, Joshua comes to the people. Well, God tells Joshua they need to prepare themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the thing that's important for us as we read the Bible is God has work for us to do. All of us have ways that God wants to use us. But what we can get from Joshua here in this preparing of the people is you have to be prepared before God can use you the way God wants to use you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Joshua goes to the people and says, hey, consecrate yourselves. Get ready. Like, get your stuff ready. Prepare yourself for crossing over. Purify yourself, right? So there's this element of make sure you're in a right relationship with God constantly. But two, there's this do what you have to do to prepare to go do the work. Don't just think God's going to come in and do it all for you. And so this is that beautiful moment of seeing God empowering people to do things they can't do on themselves, but still they have to step up and do it.
Yeah, there's no apathy.
No.
Yeah.
And there's no, I'm just going to sit here and God's going to do everything for me.
Right.
You know, it's like
a lot of... not going to let go and let God.
Exactly. Exactly. And, yeah. And you know, it's kind of like...
We still have a part to play.
Yeah. You got, like, even those that are doing this reading, you know, some people say, I really wish I could know the Bible better. Well, you're not going to unless you do some work.
Yeah.
Right.
If it was easy, we'd all be like scholars.
Yes. We expect to come and hear a sermon and it's all just going to perfectly make sense.
It is a lifelong process. In fact, every time I sit down and am working through a study or something in the Bible, or really anytime I'm reading the Bible, I just think like how much I really have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, like I really don't know that much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. When you get, the deeper you go in the Bible, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah.
You're just like, man, but
I love that. I love that it's this beautiful lifelong thing that we get to do.
Living.
Yep.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Living, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're seeing playing out here is God preparing the people. And then this is what's interesting about chapter 5. All of a sudden, it's just like, hey, there's a circumcision that happens. Mm-hmm. And somebody that's reading this might be, you know, if you don't know a lot about the Bible, this is, again, is you have to be in a right relationship with God to do the work that you're called to do. And you're talking about a generation that circumcision was given to Abraham as the sign that you were one of God's people. And you're talking about a generation of people, generation of men that had grown up and had not been circumcised. They were not obeying God. They weren't set apart from the rest of these nations. And so God doesn't, here's the thing, God, if there's something in the way of God getting us to where he wants us, he's not going to say, hey, we'll come back and deal with that later. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we're going to take care of this and then we'll move on to the next step. And I think that's important because sometimes, you know, I'm guilty of this, and we think about how this means to us is, you know, I'm kind of like, God, why? I know there's things in my life maybe I need to clean up, but why can't we just, let's just keep moving forward, and you don't feel like you're moving forward. It's because God's like, no, we got to deal with it. Right. Then we'll move forward.
Speaking of moving forward, can we move back just really quick and talk about God parting the Jordan?
Parting the Jordan,
because this was something when I studied this book that blew my mind because no one's ever taught me that he did this more than once. Like I always think the Red Sea, when God parts the Red Sea, that's always what's taught.
Yeah. So you have this, when they get ready to cross over, you have this moment where God tells them, get the ark. Ark's going, the presence of God's going first. And there is this, you know, when they got to the Jordan. Now, here's the thing. This wasn't the Cedar River. you know, this wasn't even probably the Mississippi. I mean, a lot of commentaries that I've read has said that the Jordan at this time was probably during flood season. Okay. You're talking about a monstrosity of a river. And the Bible says that, you know, God says, get the ark and head towards it. Now, what I love about this is, the Bible says that the waters did not part until the priest's feet hit the water. So think about this. You're one of the priests. You got the ark. You're walking towards this raging river, you know, this huge river, and everybody's eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. You're out there, you know, and you're getting closer, closer, closer. Nothing's happening. And then you hit that water, and God does the same thing again and stops it.
Incredible to me.
And what's cool about that is that's God also showing the ones that never saw the Red Sea.
Yeah.
He's like, this is me.
Yeah.
You know the stories? Now you're seeing it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
So it was kind of that God, I'm going to give you just what you need to be like, I got this. Mm-hmm. Right? Trust me. I got this.
Sorry.
No. Actually, I'm glad you brought it up because we talked about it before.
That's one of my favorite things.
And I skipped over it.
So at the very end of chapter 5, someone visits. And I'm curious if you think that that's a Christophany. Like, is this the angel of the Lord that comes? Like, I've heard different things. So I'm just curious what your take is on that.
My personal opinion is, yes, it is. You know, so anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, this is that the belief that there are moments in the Old Testament where there is it calls them maybe an angel of the Lord or a messenger of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's Jesus, a physical representation of Jesus. I personally do think it is, and I don't have it right in front of me. I can't, as I'm looking at my Bible here, I can't, because there's this question of Joshua was like, are you for us or are you against us? And who are you for? And basically the response is like, I'm for who I'm for, you know, I don't remember how he words it.
But he receives worship from him.
Yes. Yeah. And every angel in the Bible will say, you know,
holy. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And I think that fits Jesus for me because it's basically Jesus like, you know, listen, I'm not on your, it's not about you or even the Israelites. I'm on my side. Like, this is about me. So I think that's a beautiful answer of Christ of, mm-hmm. of just like, mm-hmm. don't think about it in this low term of are you for us or against us? He's like, it's bigger right. than that. I'm God and all of that. So, right. and then we see the fall of Jericho.
Yep.
And that's the start of the conquest. And then, you know, just to show us the end of the reading, we get to the end of Joshua. And this is Joshua kind of doing the same thing Moses did at the end of Deuteronomy. He's basically saying, choose. Mm-hmm. Are you going to follow God or are you not? He's like, I've made my decision, and this is what I'm going to do. And he reminds him again, if you do it this way, God's way, blessings. If you don't do it God's way, curses. And again, this is nobody can ever look at God and say, I didn't know. God was very adamantly clear. This is what's going on. So that's where we see that is Joshua making that, takes him into the land, they inhabit it, and now they are there. They are receiving the promise they've been waiting for.
Yeah. And Joshua has that famous quote, like, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But, you know, he's saying, look at all God has done.
Yep.
Like, the only obvious thing to do is to serve the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And again, that's why, you know, and he tells them, throw away your foreign gods. Throw away, like, decide. And that's what I love about this is we make this, we make this so difficult. Like, oh, Christianity's so hard. Here's the thing. I get it. It's a struggle. But it's not that hard. Choose.
Yep.
That's literally the choose. So.